fool lacks wisdom, lacks sense, and shows everyone how stupid he is. If a ruler anger rises against you, do not leave your post. Columnists can lay great errors to rest. Did I say Congress?
I don't know. I'm not sure what you said.
Columnists, there is an evil I have seen under the sun, the sort of evil that arises from a ruler. Fools are put in many high positions, while the rich occupy the low ones. I've seen slaves on horseback, while princes go on foot like slaves. Whoever digs a ditch may fall into it. Whoever breaks through a wall may be bitten by a snake. Whoever quarries stones may be injured by them. Whoever splits logs may be endangered by them. If the axe is dull and its edge unsharpened, more strength is needed, but skill will bring success.
Okay. Who would like to read 11 through 20? Okay, Connie.
A serpent may bite when it is not charmed. The babbler is no different. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool shall swallow him up. The words of his mouth begin with foolishness, and the end of his talk is raving madness. A fool also multiplies words. No man knows what is to be. Who can tell him what will be after him? The labor of fools wearies them, for they do not even know how to go to the city. Woe to you, O land, when your king is a child and your princes feast in the morning. Blessed are you, O land, when your king is the son of nobles and your princes feast at the proper time, for strength and not for drunkenness. Because of laziness, the building decays, and though idleness of hands, the house leaks. A feast is made for laughter, and wine makes merry, but money answers everything. Do not curse the king even in your thought. Do not curse the rich even in your bedroom. For a bird of the air may carry your voice, and a bird in flight may tell the matter.
Okay, thanks, Connie. So this chapter is full of stuff, so let's dive in. What comparison is used to illustrate how folly ruins the reputation of the wise? What does the first verse say? Huh? Dead flies will ruin the ointment, the perfume's ointment. Any questions? Comments? So what is the heart of a wise man? Where is the heart of a wise man? And where's the heart of a foolish man? Now that is not a political statement.
But that's where they got it from.
Is that where they got it from, you think? We could say this is a downer toward left-handed people, couldn't we? Huh? No? No, it's just a statement Solomon makes. It is what it is, as they say. So what does the fool display? When does the fool display his folly to everyone? Verse 3. When he walks along the road.
Back up on the left and the right.
Okay.
I know at one point I've heard that police officers, when they're chasing somebody and they don't see which way they turn, they'll turn right.
Turn right.
Because people are more likely to turn right when they...
It's an easier turn, generally.
Yeah.
Don't have to yield, yeah.
Well, I mean, even in a grocery store or a mall or wherever, people's tendency is to turn right more often.
Yeah,
than people turn right.
That's why most stores are geared, their aisles are geared,
yeah.
Start to the right and then come up and down. So
even in Europe, where they drive on the wrong side.
Well, I don't know. I've never been to Europe, so I don't know. It's called what, Jim?
The other side.
The other side. There's something about some of you medical people making help me here. But if you're right brain, you look more to the left, and if you're left brain, you look more to the right. Is that
yeah,
right? I know when you're public speaking, if you're right brain, you have a tendency to look to the crowd on the left. So you have to make, kind of keep that in mind and make sure you're sweeping the whole crowd and vice versa. So that's what I've heard.
If you're right-handed, you're more likely left-brained.
Correct. That's your dominant side. All right. So the fool displays his folly to everyone, even when he walks along the road. So how should one respond when the spirit of the ruler rises against them?
Don't take your toys and go home.
All right. And some translations will say spirit. I mean, instead of spirit, they'll say temper. How should we respond when the temper of the ruler rises against them?
Then on that previous verse, it was saying it's better to be thought a fool than to open,
Your mouth and be one. And that's exactly where that comes from. Yeah. So anyway, how should we respond, Deborah? I'm sorry.
Calmness and stay steady on what we're required to do.
Okay. Remain at your post. Maintain your faithfulness. Is this also called turn the other cheek sometimes?
I don't consider this as much turn the other cheek as I do continue to do what you're supposed to do.
Stay in your lane.
Don't let somebody else influence what you do.
Yeah.
Plus, we as people have a tendency that when we're attacked, we go on attack.
Yeah, we get in the defensive mode.
Right. So there's a tendency to respond and immediately do something, which a lot of times we regret.
Yeah.
We do it or say it.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, really, this is a call to stay calm, under control, and respond thoughtfully, right?
Right.
As opposed to that reactive, instinctive reaction.
Yeah, we've talked about that 2 or 3 weeks ago, about that. Anybody else have anything?
Something we sort of skipped over the first verse says that you may be wise and you might have honor.
Yeah.
But a little bit of idiotness erases all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and so when I read this verse, the first thing that comes to my mind is Howard Hughes, right?
Right.
Howard Hughes was a great man with great accomplishments. Generally, when people say Howard Hughes, what they remember is the crazy man who locked himself in a penthouse and wouldn't let anyone come see him and died alone.
Yeah.
Right? So all the great accomplishments he had and all the great things he did kind of got washed away at the end because everybody was like, hey, he's that crazy guy that locked himself in his penthouse.
Yeah. So what evil had the preacher seen under the sun pertaining to the government? Verses 5, 6, and 7. What evil had he seen pertaining to government? I didn't read that in my version. Error proceeding from the ruler. Folly set in great dignity while the rich are set in a lowly place. Servants on horses while princesses walk on the ground.
You've heard the expression, you know, you've been promoted to the level of your accomplishment.
Exactly. Peterman's rule or something like
Peter
that.
Principle.
Yeah, principle, yeah.
What is that again? What's that principle?
Peterson.
States that people are promoted to levels of incompetency.
They do real well in some of the lower positions, but they reach a level where they really don't know what they're doing. So they start, they're not very creative, not very successful. Yeah.
Where you rise up those steps.
Yep.
And you take one step too many.
Yep.
Exactly.
So you have to be careful.
And that's what that's based on. Yeah. So what are the pictures or illustrations that Solomon gives us in 8 through 11? What illustrations does Solomon give us in verses 8 through 11?
Well,
But what are the illustrations of?
Digging a pit and falling in it.
Okay.
Is there, or breaking through a wall and getting bit by a snake.
Okay.
You know, doing quarries or wood chopping and getting hurt by one of them.
Yeah. And that can be easily done, can't it?
How many times have you heard people injured by chainsaws?
Yeah. Or hitting your thumb with a hammer.
Pencils in your eye.
Pencils in your eye. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Or scissors. Don't run with scissors. Yeah.
Don't shoot an arrow straight out
of the air. Or pistols, yeah. Yeah, digging a pit, then falling into it, breaking through a wall, only be bit by a serpent. Being hurt by the stone when you're quarrying, and injured by the wood when you're splitting it. So when the axe is dull, verse 10, what is required? What is required when you're using a dull axe?
More strength.
And I've given you a quote from Abraham Lincoln. Give me 6 hours to chop down a tree, I'll spend the first four sharpening the axe. So, with a sharp axe, you can go a lot faster and quicker and a lot easier, can't you? So what will bring success in verse 10?
Skill.
All right, we got skill and we got wisdom. What does the verse say?
Skill.
New American says wisdom. Yeah. And what is wisdom, Jim? We've talked before, what is wisdom? What, Don? You know how to use the knowledge you have is wisdom. Yeah, application of knowledge, if you shorten it up. So how can wisdom bring success? By knowing how to use that wisdom. So what is the message in verse 7? Verse 11. What is the message in verse 11?
Don't be a snake charmer.
or be a really, really good one.
Why is he saying, and the answer comes from verse 11, a serpent that may bite when not charmed?
They had snake charmers back then.
I know. But a snake charmer, generally when you see them in action on movies and all, they don't get bitten, do they? They just charm them, the snake comes up, and then...
He's just telling his teenage kid being a snake charmer is not a good career choice.
Well, think about Balaam. He was promised great riches to curse the Israelites.
Yeah.
And Balaam told him after he got done, he said, you didn't do anything I asked you, and you're not getting a penny. So, sort of the same thing. If you're messing with something that's not wise...
Yeah, you may get away with it once or twice, a few times, but like it says here, at some point it's going to come back to bite you.
Yeah, I read it a little differently. I thought it was like the snake charmer didn't do his job, right? If the snake charmer charms a snake, the snake won't bite.
Right, right.
But if the snake bites, then the snake charmer didn't do his job, so you're not going to play bass.
The next verse kind of tells you what it's talking about. It's words from the mouth of the wise and gracious.
Exactly. That's the next question,
well, I think that what he's talking about here, when he says, he's talking about let your words be gracious. In other words, let those words be charming to people.
Yeah.
Some people talk a good talk.
Yeah. Yeah. And Rob, you could be right as far as the practical sense of it, but I think the spiritual message is, like we're talking about, just be careful, because you may get away with something for a while, but it's going to come back to bite you. So. Any other thoughts? So since Wayne has answered number 11, look at number 12. What will the lips of a fool do to him?
Consume him.
Consume him, swallow him. Depends on the translation.
What is it? Humble pie, sometimes it's sweet, sometimes it's not.
Yeah. Kind of bitter sometimes.
Takes us back to verse 1, so it'll follow you.
Exactly. Yeah. It'll ruin that sweet smell of perfume if you don't watch it. So what do the words of a fool begin with?
Folly.
Foolishness.
Is that like a joke?
Could be. Yeah, could be, I guess, if the joke doesn't go over.
I guess that's what David Lehman always tells us at the end.
He does what? Oh, David Lehman tells us at the end. Well, again, in speech training, sometimes, and I've heard the preacher boys talk about this in school, they tell you to open with a joke type of something. It breaks that initial. That's why I bring out sometimes trivia and stuff like that. Larry, do you ever have jokes you told before your sermons? No? So these words of a fool, how do they end? They start with foolishness, and how do they end?
Madness.
Madness. Wicked madness. Raving wicked madness.
Well, people pass on what you say as really?
Yeah. They learn. So verses 14 and 15, what else is said about a fool? Alright, someone said he uses a lot of words. The fool multiplies words. What does that mean?
Talks too much.
I don't want to say because I might. So, you know, I forget what the saying was. One of Abraham Lincoln's sayings was something to do with remembering your own lies, you're going to forget. When you sit there and talk so much about a lie, you don't even remember what you've said. I can't remember what his saying was.
I don't know his saying, but they say that about lying.
Yeah.
You keep telling lies, you don't remember what you've told.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. There's a much better saying. I can't remember what it was.
Okay. Larry?
About children, when they do something really bad, and you say, why did you do that?
Yeah.
It's amazing how many explanations.
They can come up with all kinds of stories, can't they?
No man has a good enough memory to be a successful liar. That's what it was.
Oh, okay. And what people do nowadays is, like the verse says, they just use a lot of words not to answer your question. Does anybody ever see that happen? Well, I didn't say they were political. I'm just saying.
But who can tell someone else what will happen after them? You don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Confusion.
Yeah.
You can tell by confusion.
And that's what they're trying to do.
It's not a God of confusion.
Exactly. So verse 16, when is there trouble in the land? When is there trouble in the land? Okay. How about if the king is young and the leaders begin feasting in the morning?
Really?
New American Standard.
Oh, sure enough.
Yeah.
King is a child.
King is a child. Okay. New American says king is a lad. But the principle is he's a young person. And the leaders begin feasting in the morning. What would be bad about leaders feasting in the morning? Is that saying don't eat breakfast?
Time to work?
Yeah. Feasting was a time of also drunkenness.
Yeah, that's the point. Yeah.
And
there's a difference in eating a meal and feasting, right?
Oh, yeah.
They start in the morning, they end up doing that all day.
Exactly. Yep. So is it always bad that a king or ruler is young? How old was King Tut?
Josiah was young.
He's like 12.
He's like 12 when he died or something like that. About 8 or 9 when he took over. So, No, it's not. It's not always wrong that the king is young, but
what? Xerxes.
Yeah.
They feasted for days and
yeah.
Stupid stuff.
I think the point is, and we talked about it earlier. With age comes that wisdom, and if the king is young, he may not fully understand what his responsibilities are and what he needs to do. So.
Plus, youth can be easily manipulated.
Exactly.
And when I read this verse, that's kind of what I'm seeing with the next part being about the princes feasting in the morning.
Right.
To me, that's painting a picture of someone who's young, easily manipulated, and the people around him who are supposed to be supporting him and giving him good advice.
Right.
Is actually saying, hey, king, let's all start the feast this morning.
Yeah.
And so I see it more as a picture of the young person who's being manipulated by evil advisors, and it's causing the entire kingdom grief.
Mm-hmm.
because the leadership is bad. That's the way I kind of look at it.
Yeah, because he doesn't have the wisdom to know the difference.
Right.
Too bad Solomon's son didn't read that.
You going to say something, David? I thought I heard you, saw your hand. Jim?
I wonder how that had an effect on the United States and other countries setting an age minimum.
Yeah. Could be. Yeah.
Because the president has to be
35. Yeah. At the time of the day of the election.
Can you imagine an 18-year-old?
Yeah, really. I know how I would have. I know how I was at 18. I didn't know dilly squat. I thought I did. Exactly right. Yeah.
Actually, acting you think you don't.
I like how the message part of the Bible puts it.
Yeah. What does it say?
Lucky the land whose king is mature, where the princes behave themselves and don't drink themselves silly.
Yeah. They use the word mature, which is a good word.
Yeah.
Yeah. it sounds better than the word old. The word mature.
Yeah.
So when is the land blessed? Number 17 for verse 17. We've kind of alluded to it.
This is a king who was brought up in service to the country. And
yeah.
Got to see the back room. Machinations and understands what diplomacy is all about.
Yeah, he has seen what's been going on, how probably his father made decisions, how maybe he interacted with his Knights of the Round Table type of people, like Shane was talking about, you know, who his influencers were. So.
That's a good argument for parents bring up your children in the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Because you don't bring them up teaching them. We've seen examples.
We're seeing the results of that today.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Always have.
But. Yeah. So what is evidence of laziness and idleness? Verse 18.
The rafters sag and house leaks.
Do what, Shane?
The rafters sag and the house.
Yeah. Decaying buildings, leaking houses, rafters are sagging.
Okay, so I'm working on a house. It was not built right originally, and they had to do about $70,000 worth of work to put the proper rafters underneath the house.
Yeah.
And do all this stuff and redig posts and foundations and rebuild up the sand. It's amazing this house was standing when the people bought it, because it was just pure laziness. It was obvious these people.
Oh, when it was built, originally built.
Either didn't have a clue as to what they were doing, or they did, and they just chose to. Yeah, they didn't care, which is laziness.
Cut corners.
Yeah.
What do you say?
I read this and I thought about that house. It's in good shape now, but my goodness, when I first got it was scary.
So that is the evidence of laziness and idleness. Why does the house leak? Verse 18.
Bad roof.
Yeah, slackness. New American says through slackness.
So.
idle-handed. It's just not doing proper maintenance, what probably a lot of it is. So I'm not a handy person. I have called somebody like David, but
I can't touch roofs.
So what observations are made about feasting, wine, and money? Verse 19. What observations are made about feasting, wine, and money? Verse 19.
Feast is for laughter, wine is for merry, wine is merry, and money is the answer for everything.
Okay. I'm going to dig in on the statement, money is the answer to everything. Why? And my question is, why is money the answer to everything? I thought money was the root of evil and all that jazz. But even at that, though, we got to have money to survive today, anyway.
Here it says money that makes the world go around.
Okay. What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
Part of what I've got it says that some of this is an indication based on the previous two verses to work hard.
Okay.
And then you will have the ability to keep your roof from leaking and your rafters from sagging.
Yeah. And by working, it's talking about a vocation where you bring in money so you can pay for these expenses, these problems, or you pay someone else to fix the problem. So,
is it an observation of kind of the conventional wisdom of the day? It's like, this is what people think. Is it an observation that he's making? You know, just like when we talk about, like, not to be political, but just in general, right? We talk about our politicians thinking that money is the answer to everything.
Right.
If we just had more money, right?
Yeah.
More taxes.
Yeah. So, because the other thing we said, like, money can't buy happiness, right? The love of money can do it all.
Yeah.
You can have all the money in the world, still be poor.
And lonely.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So we know that money is not the answer to everything.
That's true. Yep. Jim?
That our government believe that.
I don't.
Far away from that working part.
Well, yeah, we don't believe in the working part anymore. Yeah.
But it also goes back to pay me now, I'll pay me later. Because usually the payment later is going to cost you more.
Yeah.
Proper planning.
Yeah. Like this house David's working on. Yeah, if it had been built properly, they probably would not need David right now.
They would be out of work.
And that's why I think those two verses go together in a sense. Because if your rafters are sagging and your roof is leaking, you're gonna need money to fix it.
Yeah.
And I think part of the lesson here is also the person who's idle and lazy doesn't do the work to get the money to fix the roof. And that's why it leaks. So to me, these two verses kind of go hand in hand with each other.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
In sense, this statement about money is the answer for everything. But you need money to live. And to get money, you need to work.
Yeah.
And therefore, if you're lazy and idle, you end up with a leaky roof and bad rafters.
Yeah.
To me, it's kind of a circular.
Yeah, it's a
working together.
Sort of like a catch 22 in a way.
In a way.
Because you got to have it all.
Pay for a house inspection before you buy.
I'm sorry? What did you say, Jan?
Pay for your house to be inspected before you buy.
Yeah, exactly.
That doesn't always help.
Wayne?
Might get it cheaper. I was just going to say that maybe what they're talking about here, where they talk about money, is not necessarily what we think of as money, because we think of it as these bills.
Right.
Maybe what money is more of value, something that's of value. And usually the way you get something of value is you work for it. And so really, money just represents effort.
Yeah.
You know, effort on your part to have done something.
Yeah. So during the first century, there was probably a lot of bartering going on. So, well, even before, this is prior to the first century.
I would think that's not quite accurate because, I mean, look at the three pieces of paper behind us. The value of those, the physical value of those, is actually probably pretty small. A few markers and paper, but...
I would disagree.
But, yeah, I guess the value of them is so much greater to the people that they're written to and to the rest of our hearts. Eh? So, okay, yeah, I'll go with you.
I was very careful not to spill my coffee on it. Because
you're right. Okay.
You convinced me. Aren't the officials just distracting them?
What do you mean?
The officials make the feast and serve the wine. Aren't they distracting them from everything that's falling down around them?
They could be, yeah.
I mean, we see that now.
Yeah.
We get distracted by everything going on around us that we don't really pay attention to.
Pulling a switch of hand.
Exactly.
Type of sly of hand type of thing. Yes. And that's why... They were talking about having the feast early in the morning to get them drunk so they won't see what's going on. So, yeah. Good point, Adam. Let's move on. Number 21. What are we asked not to do in verse 20?
Curse the king.
Or the rich. So that means we should not talk negatively about our government leaders, correct?
There's a little bird
on
top. So why would one not curse the king nor the rich man? Deborah just said it. A little bird may get, it may come back to him, but, and then continues on in verse 20, which is number 23, the question, a bird might carry their words back. That's where we get the saying, a little bird told me. That's where that comes from. So
how many people in the family use that? I'm just curious.
How many?
Mother ever said little bird told me?
Yeah,
all the time. Yeah.
I got a BB gun for Christmas one time, and I wiped out the bird.
I mean, think about Mordecai.
Yeah.
He heard the whispers. Of the evil that was plotted against the conspiracy that was plotted against the king.
Yeah.
What we think is to ourselves is not. We've got to be careful about what you write in emails because you don't know who's forwarding that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's interesting that today we have Twitter, which is symbolized by a word.
You think that had a play into them naming that company, that app? So true wisdom may be one of those things that is hard to define but clearly recognize when seen. God in chapter 10 of Solomon's journal provides us with no fewer than 16 examples of wisdom. For most of us, we're impacted the most by object lessons and illustrations. And when those really land, the lesson itself will also sink in. In the middle of chapter 10, Solomon begins to teach using proverbs. However, these proverbs each have a vivid picture embedded in them. Through these pictures, Solomon teaches us a series of lessons. And if we were going to tweet in 140 characters, chapter 10, we would say, a little folly spoils wisdom. Whoever digs a pit will fall into it. The lips of a fool consume him, and through laziness the roof leaks. Any questions, comments about chapter 10?
You know, we think about digging a pit as literal, but my mother used to say, if they will talk to you about somebody else behind their back, they'll talk about you.
Exactly. Next week we'll look at Ecclesiastes chapter 11.
Actually, there's an error in your 140 characters.
You counted them.
Whoever digs a pit may fall into it. Now I will change your slide.
M-A-Y. Okay. All right. Anyway, next week we're going to look at chapter 11, the entire chapter, time permits. The week following, we'll look at part of chapter 12. We're going to actually split chapter 12 up into 2 weeks, and I'll explain next week why we're going to do that. So you got to be here next week to hear about the week after, and the next and the 2 weeks. So, any final comments or questions? Well, thanks for being here. Thanks for your comments. Have a blessed week. Be safe, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you.